But Sarah, meanwhile, here's a biology question for you.
Hi, my name is Jasmine, and I have a question about hay fever. So, as summer is the season when a lot of us, including myself, suffer really badly from hay fever, I was just wondering if there's a reason to why some of us are more susceptible to pollen than others, and what factors dictate who suffers from hay fever and who doesn't.
Not one to be sniffed at there, is it? Who's got hay fever in the room then? Olivia, are you a hay fever?
Sort of. I have allergies to a million things, so hay fever is just another one on the list.
Peter?
No.
No, you've escaped.
Is it, well, I used to have it. I don't know what happened. Something happened.
Your immune system forgot how to be
naughty. Yeah, which is slightly worrying.
Simon?
I'm afraid I'm drugged up today.
Another one. I used to get hay fever. It seems to have got a lot better. So, Sarah, are we so unusual? It seems that you have 100% hit rate in the room almost, apart from Peter.
Well, I don't have hay fever, but it does affect what's estimated to be about a quarter of the people.
And has that changed?
In the world. So that's interesting. Pollution levels have been blamed a lot for a hay fever epidemic, if you like. But I don't think it's the only factor that increases your susceptibility to this, really. Hay fever is a type of allergic rhinitis, if you want a more scientific name for it, if you like. Mm. And this is the same disease that, well, makes you allergic to pet hair and other indoor allergens. And it's not the allergen itself that causes your symptoms, as you alluded to. It's the immune system's inappropriate reaction.
So the allergen is the thing in the environment that you are reacting to, like the pollen or the pet hair.
Absolutely.
And it's being seen by your immune system.
Absolutely.
And that causes the symptom,
yep,
which we call an allergy.
Yep, your immune system recognises molecules on the surface of these little particles and wrongly identifies these molecules as molecules belonging to an invader. And so the immune system reacts to try and clear your body of this invader. That means that you make antibodies, and this leads to the cells making histamine. And it's this chemical histamine that inflames your nasal passages, makes your eyes run and your nose run and everything itch and make you feel really terrible.
But Sarah, this is clearly bad. So why should the body allow that to happen?
That's a good question. We don't really know. And there's a lot of genetic variation in how the immune system works and how it's set up. So a lot of it is thought to be down to this genetic variation. And in fact, it's a bit of a mysterious disease because scientists have only just, in fact, there's a paper last week that pinpointed the real offenders of all the different cell types in the immune system that were causing this allergic rhinitis. And that's a type of T cell called the Th2 cell.
So a white blood cell.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that cell is the orchestrator of that response, is it?
Absolutely, as far as we know. But as I say, there's not as much known about it as you might expect for a disease that supposedly affects a quarter of the world's population.
Because one highlight, or one thing that's a recurring theme on this subject, is that we're all living a life which is too clean and sterile, and there is this idea of the hygiene hypothesis. We're not getting enough dirt exposure, not enough stimulation for our immune response, and therefore it, sitting there twiddling its thumbs, thinks, well, I may as well react against something that's harmless then.
Absolutely. And if you don't have enough of this exposure to this sort of thing in early life, it means you never really build up a tolerance to detecting these allergens and the molecules on their surfaces in the environment. It's also been linked to stress. I don't know whether Olivia knows anything about this, a higher susceptibility to hay fever.
No, you're absolutely right, and it is very true that if you're feeling stressed, and allergies actually have been linked to poor mental health. And again, we don't know which comes first with a lot of things in science. You know, it's the case for this as well. But you're absolutely right. You know, when you're feeling stressed, then your body is a little bit more susceptible, and you could react even more to, you know, things in the environment that you normally wouldn't.
Peter?
I agree that everything's connected very much, and I think this is probably something that's going to come out more and more over the next few years, is the extent to which all of our systems are interconnected. But there is one thing, that a lot of these allergies, you can actually cure them, because really it's your immune system thinking that this thing is a bad thing that it's trying to get rid of. And you can, and these are, I mean, I don't recommend anyone try this at home, but for example, if you're allergic to cat or dog hair, there are treatments by which you eat the allergen. The cat and dog hair goes through your digestive system, and your body's immune system can actually learn that these things aren't bad for it. And so this is a way that, if, for example, you don't start reacting badly to your meal that you've just eaten or something like this. And so it's a very interesting balance between reaction and non-reaction. You can play with that.
Indeed, researchers at Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge at Cambridge University have actually managed to turn people with life-threatening nut allergies into people who consume those nuts perfectly happily every day by doing exactly as you say. There's something about the presentation to the immune system of eating something which can familiarise you and abolish the immune response. Olivia?
You know, I have exactly tried what you were speaking about, and it's absolutely helped me with my allergies. And also what I found very useful, and there's a lot of research on this for people who have allergies, to try an elimination diet where you pretty much eliminate everything you think you might be allergic to. Start with the bare basics, which is exactly what I did. Then you work your way up. And for example, celery, that was one thing that I was allergic to before. Because some doctors can be quite unhelpful. You know, they just see you for 5 minutes and that's about it, and tell you to take more medication. I didn't want to go down that route. So I took matters into my own hands, and basically I just started off by having, you know, like a centimeter of celery for 2 months, and then just increased that, and now I can have celery.
Had you been eating much celery beforehand, or was it something that you only did very rarely?
So it's actually interesting because, okay, so I'm from Canada. And in Canada, my allergies are a lot better than here in England. And as much as I love England, I don't know what it is about the environment here that just makes me sick. So I'm okay eating celery in Canada, not here though. Now I am, but not before.
We should caution people though, if you do have life-threatening allergies, do be careful about this sort of presentation approach, because the people who do this in the hospital start with literally amounts that you cannot even see, and then slowly scale it up to in a safe way. So it can be done, and it is safe if done in the right hands, but do be cautious about just eating things you might be allergic to.